You'll find it helpful to keep your Bibles open at 1 Peter chapter 5 as we particularly focus on those verses at the beginning of that chapter. Tonight is a very special night for this congregation and for Hugh, Jeffrey, Joey and Mike as you've been ordained and installed as ruling elders. It's a privilege to have been asked to bring God's word to you tonight as you take up this role here in Brookside and begin as ruling elders. But back in October, along with the commission, had the privilege of being able to meet with these men and hear a bit about their life, of how God called them to saving faith in Christ and how he led them to this point here tonight. And men, I know you've been well prepared, as I heard that evening. You know the Westminster Confession inside out now and all the duties and responsibilities of an elder. But now, tonight, is when the rubber hits the road. Now is when it will be put into practice as we go forward from here. But how are you going to go about that work from this point? What will be your focus? What will be your motives and motivation that will enable you to keep going in this role as ruling elder? We're going to think about that in particular as we look at these verses, familiar verses from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses which are particularly relevant to elders in the church as it's directed to them. But in this letter, Peter had been speaking much about suffering, and he talks about the fiery trials that Christians were facing in Asia Minor region at that time. But in the midst of these challenges, in verse 2, he calls for these elders to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. This is an important task that has been given to each elder, especially when you're aware of the challenges that sheep encounter. I don't think any of you are farmers, but we maybe have some farmers with us here tonight. But having grown up on a farm, I can appreciate all that is needed to look after sheep. You can't just leave them to it. You have to take care of them. They need to be protected. There's so much that is involved to lead them in the right way. And I read from Ezekiel 34 tonight, because in that passage we see that the shepherds weren't leading or caring for the people in the right way. They had abandoned their duties as shepherds. They had lost sight of their role and had devastating consequences. Instead of feeding the sheep, they fed themselves. They didn't tend to the weak or to the injured. They didn't go after the lost. They didn't protect the flock from the wild beasts. And it says they were scattered. You know, today, each of us in the church are facing different challenges than we have in decades gone past. But there continues to be suffering and hardships. We're already seeing more opposition against God's word and God's people in these days. And so it is vitally important that we have ruling elders who are willing to truly shepherd the flock of God. And so the first thing I want to focus on from this passage tonight is the need to humbly serve as Christ's under-shepherds. As Peter is bringing a charge to elders here in chapter 1 and verse 1, though, he identified himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Remember, Peter was one of the closest disciples of Jesus. He'd been through so much with him and the 12. But even though he failed Jesus so many times and famously denied knowing him as the cock crowed in that courtyard, the Lord had a purpose for Peter and for his church. And Peter was wonderfully restored by Jesus to a position of leadership after his resurrection. Remember, he met with him by the shore and asked him 3 times if he loved him. And Peter affirmed that love. But in each case, he was given those instructions, well-known instructions, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. See, the apostle Peter was called to this task of shepherding the flock. And by God's grace, he worked tirelessly in that role to build the church as God built it. But did you notice as Peter addresses the elders here, he didn't come brandishing the title of apostle. He didn't big himself up like some people in positions of power tend to do. No, Peter humbly referred to himself here as a fellow elder. He was associating with these men in the church, and he drew a connection between his work as an apostle and to how these men were to go forward in caring for the flock where they were. Of course, those elders in the church weren't apostles, But they were carrying on that apostolic witness, and that was necessary for the church to continue and to go forward. Men, as you come into this role as elders in Brookside, it doesn't matter what title you have or what letters you have after your name. You humbly and you collectively share in this role with one another as a Kirk session. Each elder has been called by God in this vital task of caring for the flock. And you are carrying on that witness of Christ. And I love how Peter gives us that focus here. Look what he says. He is a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. As a shepherd of God's people, his eyes were always on the chief shepherd. He was focused on what Christ accomplished through his suffering and his death, because it was only through that sacrifice that people would enter into the glory to come that he was looking forward to. Peter witnessed the anguish and the suffering of the Lord Jesus. He saw him in Gethsemane and the pain he went through there. He saw him as he went to Calvary. He knew firsthand how much it cost Jesus to redeem his people from slavery to sin and death. He knew that he was the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And so in that time when the churches in those days were facing fiery trials, his fellow elders who he was speaking to here needed to keep in mind how much Christ suffered for them as their chief shepherd. And as they followed after him as their under shepherds, they must also be humble and willing to serve and suffer for the sake of the gospel. Like Peter and the other apostles, they must continue to bear witness to this message of Christ's suffering and all he accomplished in his death. Look, men, as I speak to you tonight, this must remain central in your role as an elder. And indeed, as a congregation, it must remain central in each of our lives, because this is the only way that any of us will partake in the glory that's to come. Peter got a glimpse of that glory as he went up with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration at that time. But what he was looking forward to, or what was to come, was even greater than that. In chapter 1, verse 3, listen to what he says there. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is the hope that born-again believers have, a share in an eternal inheritance in glory. Isn't that remarkable to know that that can be yours? But it was only because of Christ's suffering that the glory would come. And these things were at the forefront of Peter's mind as he called on these men to shepherd the flock. Suffering and glory were at the front of their mind. Men, as you enter into this role of elder, you must also keep in mind Christ's suffering and the glory that's to come. You must be prepared for those challenges that you'll face, because there will be people who will not want to hear the words that you have to share. They'll not want to hear the gospel. They'll not want to be corrected by God's word. There'll be times you'll face insults and hardships. It may even take its toll on your family as you serve in this role. But as you enter into this role as under-shepherds of Christ, you know that you are witnessing to his sufferings and to the hope of glory that is to come. So keeping this in mind, what he's presented up front, we next see how Peter calls for them to lovingly serve God's flock with right motives. As I mentioned, I grew up on a farm and my dad always had sheep about. But when I was about home, there was times I had to go out and help with the feeding or help with the lambing or vaccinate them or fix fences to keep them in and all the rest. And I have to say I enjoyed it mostly. And I say mostly because there was times in my younger days when you were going out maybe a bit more under compulsion, especially in the middle of a freezing cold night. But there also have been those times whenever my dad would have been away somewhere off on holidays. It wasn't very often, but I was left in charge. I realized the importance of the task that had been left. But out of a love for my father, I did all that I could to ensure that I looked after those sheep that were left in my care. I didn't want anything to happen to them, not just because I would get telling off when they come back, but because I, out of a love for him and for the sheep that were now in my care, I want to look after them. I think that paints a picture of what Peter is saying to the elders here. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Notice that Peter didn't say my flock or your flock. It's the flock of God. These elders have been charged with caring for God's flock, which was purchased by the chief shepherd. And too often our focus in the church, I think, can shift from us talking about my church or my district or my ministry. And of course, it's good to have that sense of belonging in the church and that ownership. But we must remember whose church it is and whose flock elders are caring for. Man, it's also important to note that you're called to serve as elders in the congregation of Brookside Presbyterian in Ahokil, not Kalibake, as we were hearing earlier on. You're not caring for all of God's flock in every place. There's a fence around your field, so to speak. This is the particular flock that you are to provide spiritual oversight to. These are the people who you're to get to know and love and care for in all the various circumstances that they'll go through. Feeding them with God's word, seeking to protect them from the dangers of the world that's around. These are the particular people who you are to have in mind as you consider how you're going about this role. And it's so important to keep the flock in mind and whose flock they are. Because Peter then gives three contrasts which show whether or not the elders are serving with the right motives. Look at verse 2, they're to shepherd the flock not under compulsion, but willingly. Mike, Joey, Jeffrey, and Hugh, I trust that none of you have become elders by having your arm twisted up your back. I think you have come willingly to this role. But you should also continue willingly to serve. Because it's not helpful to anyone if you're doing the work of an under-shepherd under duress. Of course, there will be challenging situations that you'll have to face. There'll be times when it's not easy to go into a particular home or to have a certain conversation with certain people. But you want to keep in mind that the lost sheep need to be saved. We heard that coming out in Ezekiel 34. That the weak sheep need to be strengthened. The straying sheep need to be brought back into the fold. And incredibly, God has called elders to shepherd his sheep and his people like this. To lead them to the chief shepherd and to keep following after him. He is the one who willingly laid down his life for the sheep. There was nothing under compulsion in anything that he did. He willingly gave his life for the sheep. Peter takes this a bit further then as he says they're not to shepherd the flock for shameful gain, but eagerly. If you men were expecting to get a signing on fee tonight, I'm sorry. I don't think that happens in the presbytery. No, definitely not. But even if you weren't expecting payment, there is that danger that sometimes people would enter into the eldership for maybe personal gain of some sort. Maybe their motivation is to have this better status within the church or the community, to be seen in a better light by other people. Make yourself look good. But that should never be your motivation. You should be eager to serve because it is a privilege to be able to take care of God's flock through the high points and the low points in their lives. What an honor it is to be able to go into people's home and read God's word with them, to pray with people in the darkest of times, reminding them of the hope of the gospel, trusting in God's sovereign purposes through it all. You can be involved in that. You see, if you are eager to shepherd God's people, then you'll also be eager to sacrifice for others, not to receive gain for yourself. You will even take joy in that as you follow after the chief shepherd who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. See, when you've that love for the Lord and you've experienced that joy of his finished work of salvation in your life, then you'll willingly go to such lengths for those who have been placed under your care. Hopefully, as a congregation tonight, you will embrace these elders and others in the session here, that you'll allow them in to shepherd you and help you in those times. And as a congregation, you'll be able to look to these men as your elders and say that these men are setting a good example for us to follow. And that's the last motive that Peter draws out here in these couplets. Because he sees that there's a danger when people get into positions of oversight that they can become domineering. The power goes to their head. And that can very easily happen, and we must guard ourselves against that. But if you've ever moved sheep from one field to another, it's something I've often done, you'll know that it's much easier to get them to follow you out the gate than it is to try and drive them out, chasing after them. It can become a whole handling if you're trying to force them out a place where they're not willing to go. And as a church, we need elders who will take the same approach. As they follow after Christ, they lovingly seek to lead people into the way that they need to go. In fact, for all Christians, by God's grace, we want to follow the example of Christ in all that we do. We want our witness to be credible before others as we seek to make the saving work of Christ in our lives known. Under-shepherds who lovingly serve God's flock with right motives will set an example that others can look up to. But man, you realize you can't do that on your own strength. We all fail in many ways. None of us are perfect. And so we continue to depend on God's grace that you may be that Christ-like example to many in this congregation in the days ahead. Finally then, that leads more briefly for you to expectantly serve for Christ's eternal reward. So sticking with the shepherd illustration, I want you to picture a shepherd going out in the middle of a cold, wet January night to check on sheep which could be lambing. It's tiring, difficult work, and there's a lot to be done even before the morning. But why would shepherds do that? Why would they go through that? Why would farmers do that? Because they know if the lambs are safely born, if they're reared and grow up to be finished, then there will be a reward as they bring them to the market. The final reward is the shepherd's motivation. And in the church, as under shepherds, we've already heard your motivation isn't to be financial gain, but there is a great reward awaiting in glory for those who faithfully serve to the end. Look at verse 4. Peter says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." What an incredible expectation that is. Surely we all want to receive that reward in the final day when our chief shepherd returns. But this crown that it's talking about here is reminiscent of the wreath of a champion athlete when they got to the end of the race, they had finished it. But unlike that wreath, this reward will never fade away. It's a lasting honor that will continue forever and ever. And Peter is pointing these under-shepherds to the reward that is theirs if they faithfully serve to the end. Man, this is the expectation that will keep you going through the fiery trials. This is what will give you hope in the midst of painful and difficult pastoral situations. So keep your eyes fixed on what is to come. Keep your eyes fixed on that day when you'll be welcomed and rewarded in the presence of that victorious chief shepherd. What a picture that is to keep in your mind as you enter into this role in this congregation. Mike, Joy, Jeffrey, and Hugh, you have been ordained tonight as ruling elders into this congregation to be under-shepherds of the chief shepherd. May you know God's sustaining grace as you humbly serve him and the flock entrusted to your care. May you continue to be witnesses of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that is to come for all who trust in him as Savior and Lord. As a congregation here in Brookside, pray for these men. Support them. Encourage them and the session here in Brookside as they continue to shepherd the flock under their care, under our great chief shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it brings us to Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who willingly laid down his life for his sheep. And Lord, tonight as we have heard from your word and as this charge has gone to these elders tonight, we pray indeed that they would be faithful under shepherds of their chief. May they be willing to sacrificially lay down their lives for others in this congregation as they seek to point people to the risen Savior and Lord. Lord, may they behold before them that glory of the returning shepherd and that reward that is awaiting for all who faithfully serve to the end. Lord, we look forward to that day where we join with all who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.